Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we just thank you today for the power and the authority of your word. We thank you, Lord, for saving us, for giving us your spirit to indwell us, that we might know you in the pardon of our sins. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've done for us. For we need you, Father, in every area of our lives. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
We gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes. Well, I'm going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. That's where I'm going to take my text. So go with me there in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Well, I want to minister tonight on degrees of inspiration. Number one, Some parts of Scripture give the exact words of God. But let's go back to our text here. He says, all Scripture, not just part of the Scripture, but all Scripture is given, notice this, by inspiration of God. In other words, the Word of God, the 66 books of the Bible, they are inspired of God. And he says, and is profitable for doctrine. You know, we need to hear sound doctrine. The Bible says to study, to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you can rightly divide the word of truth, did you know there's people out here that could wrongly divide it? They'll take a scripture out of context. You can't build a doctrine on part of a verse. You can't build a doctrine on one verse. You got to have two or three witnesses that's rightly divided. So he said it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Sometimes the word of God will correct us. For instruction in righteousness. So now, number one, like I said earlier, some parts of Scripture give the exact words of God. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 16, the Bible says, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. Next time someone tells you, well, man wrote the Bible, you take them to this verse right here where it says, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the table. So God wrote it right here. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says, the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. God talked to his man face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. And we know that God talked with Moses through the burning bush. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, and ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed unto us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice. Notice that. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk with man and he liveth. In other words, God spoke to people. He spoke to people face to face, and he spoke to them. It says here, we have seen this day that God does talk with man, and he liveth. We serve the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is the true and the living God, and he is the God that talks to his man. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, and lo, a voice from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father spoke this about Jesus while he was here on earth, when John the Baptist was baptizing in Jesus. And lo, a voice, notice this, from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. If you're born again, you hear the voice of God. Any voice that does not line up with the Word of God is not the voice of God. God's voice, which is the Spirit of truth, will always speak in line with the Word of God. So number one, the degree of inspiration is some parts of Scripture give the exact words of God. Number two, some words were put into the mouths of the speaker who spoke as the Spirit inspired them. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 12, it says, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach what thou shalt say. That's a good scripture for you preachers and teachers of the word. You can stand on Exodus 4:12. God said here, he said, now go therefore. That sounds like the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, and I will be with thy mouth. We can ask God to be with our mouth, and he'll give us the word to say, and teach thee what thou shalt say. In other words, you can ask God to give you what to say to someone, or when you witness to someone. He said, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Numbers chapter 23, verse 5 says, and the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. You know, God can put a word in our mouth. And the Bible says, and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. In other words, the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. God can put a word in our mouth that we can speak to people. Now in Exodus chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible said, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. In other words, we're supposed to preach and teach the word of God. Some will hear, and some will reject the gospel of salvation. But our job is to plant the seed. Our job is to water the seed. And it is God that gives the increase. But they got a free will to receive it, or they got a free will to reject the word of God. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, it says, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my word that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, give thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. In other words, the minister's job was to proclaim the word. Some heard it, and some rejected. I got one more verse. It'll be my last one. Acts chapter 3, verse 21 said, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken, notice that, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. In other words, God spoke through the prophets of old. In other words, the Bible says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Number one degree of inspiration is some parts of Scripture was given the exact words of God. Number two, some words were put into the mouths of the speakers who spoke that the Spirit inspired them. Let me encourage you to daily read the Word of God. Not only read the Word of God, study the Word of God. Meditate the Word of God. Hide the Word of God in your heart. In other words, live by the Word of God. Read the Word of God completely through, from cover to cover, and be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Well, I'm done, and I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Thank you, Brother Shannon. God bless you today. God is good. His word is super good. Amen. You are the one that I love. That ought to be our testimony as Christians. You are the one that I love, my God. Sister Mary?
Yes.
It's on you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Tonight I want to read Hebrews chapter 12. And it starts with, wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race is set before us. Now, this is a choice that we make after we've invited Jesus Christ into our life. And he's already paid the cost for it. He's already fixed it. So all we have to do is study to show ourselves approved and follow after Jesus and glorify the Lord and lift up Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, as to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endures such contradiction of sin against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. In other words, if we don't have Jesus inside of us, if we have not yet repented and given our hearts to God, we'll faint in our minds. In other words, we're out there worrying. And worrying means, to me, my definition of worry is that the devil, he brings up something for you to think about other than Jesus, whether it be circumstances or just anything, as long as it's not God and something to bombard you. And where you can't, sometimes it gets so bad that you can't even remember Jesus died on the cross for you. And it gets so high up past your head that you can't see nothing else other than your trouble. We've all been there. But I thank Almighty God for Jesus. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exaltation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. In other words, God going, if you have given your heart to him, he's going to lead you, he's going to guide you, and his chastisement will guide you where he wants you to go. It'll teach you what he wants you to know. And when we learn how to follow what he says to and give up our own self, you know, I think that my own Mary, trying to get over me, trying to have my way. And as old as I am, I still get up with my way every once in a while, remembering that it ain't not about me, it's about Jesus. He's the one that's already fixed it. Whom the Lord loveth, he chases and scourges every son whom he receives. In other words, if he receives you, he's going to draw you unto him. And he got it all fixed up where you're so glad to get to him, to get relief, that you will not go back to whatever he got you out of. I say myself, I've been to hell and not going back. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. But what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, you have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. And they did. They corrected us. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Yes. This is the fear of the Lord, knowing that we can't make it without him. knowing that our whole life and joy and peace and the fruits of His Spirit in our lives is dependent upon following after Him. Those things are not of this world. They are in the Spirit. And, you know, we are coming in this world concerned about the things in the world. But when Jesus comes into our lives and saves us, then we become bigger inside. And the world on the outside and things on the outside that we can see and touch become smaller and smaller in our eyesight. It does not mean that we don't appreciate them, we don't enjoy them, we do. But they don't have us anymore. We have Jesus. Now, they barely have a few days chastised us after our own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. In other words, we don't know nothing about His holiness. We have heard about it, but to actually know about His holiness until He teaches us His love, until He teaches us His word, until it's rooted and grounded in our heart, we don't know nothing about holiness. He's the one that teaches us the love. He's the one that teaches us to be holy where we want to please the Lord. We want our lives to be pleasing to God. Now, no chastising by the present seems to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless, after it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Yeah, it gets kind of rough sometime with us, because God means business. He means, in other words, how many lessons have you got to have? Or how many times have you got to be told? That voice of the Lord, you hear the voice of the Lord, you know the voice of the Lord, and you learn how to obey Him immediately. Well, that you know, nobody else might not know, but you know exactly what you're to do or what you're not to do. And when it comes time to do, then you'll know. And verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Glory be to God. Let us walk after Jesus Christ. Let us walk into patience and joy and peace, because healing is also amongst those things. It's not out here brawling and riling and cutting up a buck dust and stirring up trouble and gossiping. It's not. There's no healing, no joy, no peace in none of that. No salvation in none of that. It's only in Jesus. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. In other words, it's too easy to get into trouble. You can get into more in 5 minutes than you can get out of in 20 years, and you just be stuck somewhere. And if God don't deliver you, you're just stuck there, because we don't have power. Cigarettes, people smoke, things like that. Well, when you pick up a cigarette to smoke, how are you going to get rid of the cigarette that wants to be smoked? Some people would give anything if they didn't have the urge to smoke. But these are things that will latch on to us, and it takes over our lives. And if anything, that's the devil offering us something other than Christ. And verse 16, lest there be any fornicators or profane person as Esau, whom for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. In other words, he sold his birthright because he was not interested in it. He was not. He had no concern about his pottage that had his name on it and it was his. But in later years, he grieved about it. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. It's too late after, I mean, you got a choice. You don't have to get into all these things. It's one thing about getting into things and not knowing, but deliberately doing things, he is no toy. And I can tell you, we can get into some more things. But ye had not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, not unto blackness and darkness and temperance, and the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, with which they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned, a thrust through with a dart. In other words, look what you put yourself out there for. Whatever's coming, you're going to get if you don't have God's protection and his love. We can't take care of ourselves. We can't protect ourselves. We cannot do anything. The Bible says we can't do anything. God does it all for us. Glory be. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Sinai and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which was written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, who refuse him that spoke on earth? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying and removing of those things that were shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And that's something, we don't have the ability to get rid of anything, but the Lord can get rid of whatever he wants to. But then sometimes some of it remains. And this word, yet once again, 28, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In other words, Jesus has already fixed it for us. He's not a toy. He wants us to walk after him. He wants us to give our hearts to God. He wants us to let our light shine so the people in the dark can learn about Jesus. And, you know, there's a love that we have about people. We want them to be healed. We want them to go to heaven. We don't want them to go to hell. And, you know, we want things to be better for them. And so it's so much different from what we were before Christ came into our lives. We learn how to love people. We learn how to care for them. And we learn to obey God in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. That's good. In other words, you can't beat what God is doing. So you need to get on board with him so you can be blessed.
Amen.
Praise God. We need to get on board with him so we can be blessed. Isn't that amazing?
That's right.
With all that is within me, The gates of Hades could not withstand it. Jesus is saying that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. His power is greater than the power of the enemy. When there is a head-on conflict between the power of the enemy and the power of God, the power of the enemy will lose every single time. 1 Corinthians 4:19 and 20, Paul says in these verses that he's coming to Corinth to see the teachers that are there. And he's not coming to hear their words, but he's coming to see the power in their lives. For the kingdom of God is not words, but it is power. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gather out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Every child of God needs to take a close look at who and what and where and why, who we can share, and we can share our witness of salvation with everyone. Everyone we meet, no matter where you're at, you should be able to share your witness of how great God is and what he's done in our lives, what he's doing in our lives, and that he's alive and he's well. He's real, and he's got all power in his hands. There is no other way except through him. We need to tell of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God, that he saved you, that he will save you. He'll save you. He'll save this one. He'll save that one. And that he will save anyone who comes and believes him through Christ. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm thanking God without ceasing because God deserves the praise and the glory. He deserves it. So, you know, this word authority, I thought about, you know, there's so many people, you know, you look around and everybody believes that their God has got the authority. They think, the Jehovah Witness think their God has the authority. The Mormons think their God has the authority. And you can go on and on, and everybody else believes that their God has the authority. But my question is this, what is the difference? What is the difference in the God that we serve, Jesus Christ, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Lord that sits above, sits high and looks low? What is the difference between their gods and our God? And I would say their gods don't have all power. Mm-hmm. I got all the power. See, theirs is a tradition. It's something that they learn, and the authority is in their mouth and their hands. But this authority is in with him. And through Christ, we can have the same authority that raised Jesus from the dead. He gives to us if we yet believe. He gives it to us. So we don't need to worry about Jehovah Witness knocking on the door. We don't need to worry about all of these people overseas and trying to take over with ISIS and all. You know, we don't need to worry about that because, you know, the Lord that we serve, he has all power in his hands. And after a while, he'll come back and he'll do just like he did before. He'll wipe them all out and he'll start over again. And I want to be one of the ones that he chooses. I want to go up in the rapture. I don't want to be down here when it happens. I want to go up in the rapture and be with the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. That was good. That was good. All we have to do is enjoy life in Jesus Christ. Make it stormy, but guess what? He's the captain of the ship.
He is.
The song, The Old Ship of Zion. It has landed many a thousand. and it'll continue to land many of thousands and millions if we'll just preach the gospel. You know, the gospel is so simple. Can you imagine how simple the gospel is and how hard we make it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow.
Hallelujah.
That is so simple. That is so simple. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thy shall be saved. You know,
and
the Bible says,
right there, can I just chime in right there, please?
Yeah.
It is that simple. But when you're not mature, you know, in it, and I learned something from you a few years back about, I think me and Mom always talk about this, how when if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't see spiritual things. So once you get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can recognize that is simple, but then as soon as you get saved, you have this one that's running around here called Satan that's trying to stop you. And so you can't recognize him if you're not filled with the Spirit of God. You know, as soon as you get, you can confess that and you can say it, but then that's when the trouble, like Mom says, Mom, what do you say? That's when the trouble comes.
Yeah.
That's when the trouble comes. And so every day is new mercies for us, and every day it's easy to say it, but it's a walk, and we have to rely on him, and sometimes it's a struggle because we are human and we are flesh, but without him we could not make it. It, you know, it's easily said, but it's not easily done in this world.
Amen.
That's,
you know what, the truth
that because
of the matter.
I'm telling you, in this world, I appreciate you all, you know, being faithful to the word, to go out, and sometimes you don't want to read the word, and you're tired, you want to lay down, but faith comes by hearing it. So I said, I'll just hear it, but now here I am speaking it. So, you know, I appreciate you all.
Praise God. You know, you got to think about, Bible says no one will call Jesus accursed by the Spirit of God. And no one will say that he's Lord except by the Holy Spirit. All of this is God. You know, it's really God. Nobody finds God. God deals with our hearts. You know, Jesus said no one will come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. So God, this is a God thing. You know, in other words, how do you bring a dead man alive with another dead man?
Woo.
No, you can't do that. Another dead man cannot breathe into the lungs of a dead man and bring him alive. Only someone who's alive. The Holy Spirit comes and reveals to us who Jesus Christ is. Just think about this thief on the cross. You know, I have to go back there every once in a while. Here's a thief on the cross dying with Jesus. Dying on a cross with Jesus. And he looks up and says, Lord. You know, the Bible says if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He says, Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom. He knew he was going to resurrect. I mean, on that cross, he never baptized, he never joined the church, never took the Lord's Supper. Well, man, there's a lot of things he never done. He never went to church. I mean, up on a cross, dying on a cross. What is the chances of anyone saying to another person who's been beat, where you can't even recognize him, what is the chances of somebody calling him Lord on a cross? Well, the Holy Spirit revealed to that thief who Jesus was. The Father drew that thief to Jesus. You know, people say, well, I don't understand that. Well, You don't have to understand it. All you have to do is believe it. We don't understand how a black cow eat green grass and give white milk. But guess what? Milk is still good. So we don't have to understand how this all works. We know it works. You know, the only way you could ever prove the existence of God, the only way God could ever be proven is that you become born again. You are the only one that will know that God is alive. There's nothing you can say to another person about the existence of God. You can't prove the existence of God to a dead man. But when God comes into your life, you know he's alive. You know, I had joined the church in teaching Sunday school. Wow, man. And I thought that was a good life. But I didn't realize how good life was until Jesus came into my life. I was doing everything they told me to do. You know, I felt like I quit doing a lot of things. But you know what? Everything changed when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. Amen. You don't do them out of duty. You don't do them out of law. You do them out of love. That makes the difference. When you can love somebody, you have no problems with honoring them and respecting them and loving them. You know, Jesus says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. If you love me, you know, if you love me, you won't have a problem because you love me. That means you're not going to follow the devil. So when we talk about keeping the commandments of God, it's simply saying we will not follow the plans of the devil. You know, one of the guys in prison, he was talking to another guy, and the guy asked him, are the commandments relevant today? And I said, well, let's go read them. Let's see. And then we got to reading them. I said, is that relevant? Thou shalt have no other God before God. Oh, yeah. So just go and read them and see that if we follow the commandments of God, there's a lot better life for us. If we serve God, guess what? We won't be serving evil. So you got to realize that if we obey God, like even something as simple as remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, well, that simply means we need to rest. We got the best medical care that money can buy in America, and we still got people dying of exhaustion because we don't rest. We don't rest. In other words, we work as though we're going to be here forever. Our bodies don't have a chance to rest. I mean, stores are open 7 days a week now. People are working 7 days a week, man, trying to make the last dollar, trying to make money after money after money after money. And then they die with all that money. Then somebody they don't even like or don't like them get to spend their money. The fruit of their labors, they can't even enjoy. So he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is that relevant? That's relevant for today. So, you know, people, you know, they argue about what day we go to church. That verse has nothing to do with going to church. It says God created the earth and everything in it in 6 days, and he rested the seventh day. And if you go back to Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and all that, the Sabbath was for rest. If anybody was caught doing anything on the Sabbath, it was for rest. Rest. So we argue, do we go to church on Sunday? Do we go to church on Saturday? That is not an argument. That is not an argument. You can go every day if you want to. God is not going to curse you if you go to church every day. He's not going to curse you if you just go on Sunday. He's not going to curse you if you go on Saturday. You can go every day, but he wants you to have a day of rest. You know, I talked to this person, and she was telling me about, you know, Saturday is the seventh day. That's what when we go to church. I said, well, let's read the word. And it says rest. I said, so how did you get to church? She said, I drove. Well, let me tell you, you broke the law. You broke the law. He says, nobody should work on that day, not your children, not your animals, the strangers in your gates. No one should work. God wanted us to rest. He wanted us to rest. If God had to rest, what do you think about us? But we get caught up in those arguments, and we don't even read the scriptures. So if they're wrong about that, what else are they wrong about? So we got to think about that. The Holy Spirit reveals the word unto us. We got to realize that. He reveals the word. He says something right here in 1 John 2 and 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written to you, concerning them that seduce you. The anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is true and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. If we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're going to know the Father's will. We're going to know Jesus. You know, he says, when all of the people of God come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measurement of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When we come into that, that means we are listening to the Holy Spirit. He's telling us what the life of Jesus is all about. And as we take on the life of Jesus, then all of the doctrines, all of the things that have been written by men, we don't follow those. We follow Jesus Christ because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us revealing that word. So it's very important that we understand that. We have the anointing inside of us. He says right here, and you know, a lot of people are afraid of this. In verse 27 again, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things. He says all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. So if we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, just think, if every Christian followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, we would all be disciples of men. We will all be able to go out and teach other people about Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the equipping of the saints. We're supposed to go to church to learn how to go out and deliver the message of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why we go to church. We don't go to church just to camp at church. We go to church to learn how to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ outside those walls. And then we bring people in so they can be equipped and go back and deliver the message. That's what this is about. And I thank God tonight for the program. I thank God for all of those who were all a part of this program. Because I know that if we preach the gospel, you may be planning or you may be worrying. But if you are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are doing one of the two. You are either planning or watering, or you're doing both. But God will give the increase. Remember that. God will give the increase. All we have to do is preach the gospel. That's all we have to do. We don't have to explain it. The Holy Spirit will explain the word. The Holy Spirit will touch their hearts and reveal that word unto them. I don't have to argue the existence of God. All I have to do is preach the gospel. I don't have to argue whether God is real. I already know he's real. And the message that we preach comes from the Holy Spirit touching the hearts of those who don't know him. So he can inject that word down inside of their spirits to allow God the Father to deal with that person. So this is really simple. It's not really hard. All we have to do is obey him. He says, go right, go right. He says, go left, go left. He says, stop, stop. He says, go, go. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. They are the matured of God. So I want to learn how to listen to the Spirit myself so I can know the will of God. And once we know the will of God, it says in 1 John, right here, 5th chapter, let me read this. It says in verse 13, 5 and 13, these things that I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And then he says in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition we've asked of him. We don't have to doubt God when we ask for things in his will. He wants to bless us. Healing is his will. Everything we need is already done by Jesus Christ. And our faith brings it into existence so we can use it. So this is what I want to get over tonight. Let's follow the Holy Spirit. Let's follow the Holy Spirit, and we will love every person. We will love every Christian. We can all come together. People say, well, we can't come together. Well, we can come together, and we're going to come together. If God has to kill off some people, we're going to come together. Let me tell you, the church is going to come together. God did not separate his church. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell is not prevailing against the church of Jesus Christ. I can tell you right now. And there are people of Jesus in every building, in every fellowship. And eventually, they are going to come together because the rock is Jesus. They're going to leave all that window dressing out. Everything you got connected to it that don't have nothing to do, it's going to drop off. And people are just going to want to, people are going to have a hunger to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. then you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. Just think about it. If we just do what Christ told us to do, if we just follow the Spirit, we won't have to worry about what color the carpet's going to be. We won't have to worry about how to build a building. My God, when we come together under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, just like he directed Solomon to build the temple, he will direct us how to build it, and it will do the job that it's meant to do. So we sell our buildings rather than our God. Oh, man, come to our building, man, so you can be comfortable. God don't want us to be comfortable. He wants us to be ready to go out and defeat the hand worse of Satan.
Amen.
God is in charge of our lives. And I just thank God today, ladies, for this message and the messages that have been taught tonight. See, we can do the message. The message is simple. Father, we thank you tonight because of who you are. We worship you. We praise you. And we know we can do that 24/7, Father. We know that we don't ever have to quit praising and worshiping you. And we know that when we come together as believers, Lord, we can praise and worship you collectively. But we understand, Lord, that it's you and you alone that we worship and praise. My God, thank you tonight for everything that you've done tonight. And I pray that those who are listening tonight, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the truth of the message. God is so good to us. And we need to realize that his grace is greater than our sins. So don't worry about your sins. Just come to Jesus. As God deals with your heart right now, just say yes to him. And your sins, the power of your sins will just drop off. They'll drop off. In Jesus' name. God bless you, ladies. God richly bless you is my prayer. May his face shine upon you forever. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
Have a good sleep tonight.
We share. You also.
Thank you. We'll see you later.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Good night.